part of the body of Christ. Amen. But we don't always understand it. So that was just a greeting in Dutch where I'm from. I'm from Holland originally, lived there, and that's where I was born. But you wouldn't have understood it unless you were part of the Dutch nation. Or you studied Dutch, obviously, but nobody does that. It's a tiny little country. Nobody wants to speak that language. Even our universities now are doing all their lessons in English, which is a big disgrace to my language. But there we go, off that high horse very quickly. But your Luke is kind of probably what the people here had as well in Ephesus. Because they were promised this great country, this great promise, and yet some of them weren't included. When I started my greeting in Dutch, you probably felt very excluded, thinking, "Hang, help, somebody, please hold up some translation cards." And maybe that's what they needed in those days. Allow me just to tell you a little story. And Dan, thank you for a pint of water. Very much appreciated. So allow me to tell you a little story of a time when you're in a desert. Just imagine it. Just look outside. Then it's easy to imagine then in the chill of this room. But outside it looks nice and warm. So you're there. The land is actually parched. Nothing grows. We had a great prayer about Thanksgiving for everything in bloom and the green on the trees. Forget about that. There's nothing. It's all dead. There is a cadaver of some animals. Can't even recognize what animal it used to be anymore. You might even see what you might just think of human bones. It is an arid land. It is just a land, a wasteland. And you are making your way through that wasteland. And you're parched. And you haven't got what I've got. At this stage, even I haven't got it. And I'm parched. And I just want to have something that I could just cling on to that gives me hope. And I look around and I cannot find hope in these lands. And I keep on walking past all what's dead. And then I see in the distance a wall that's like 100 feet high. And I'm thinking there must be something there, but there's no ladder big enough. And when I get closer, I see the foundations are solid. I will not dig anything underneath it. And yet, if I'm quiet enough, I can just hear joy, tremendous joy on the other side of that wall. And I'm thinking, how can I be part of that? I want to be part of that. I don't want to be part in this dead land anymore. I want to be part of life, of joy. How do I get there? So I start shouting, help! Anyone? Nobody comes. I'm on my own without hope. So I shout even louder. I won't do that for the mic's sake. Blow up your system. But after shouting a few times, a few heads appear at the top of the wall. And I'm thinking, yes, salvation is nigh. Save us. And they started shouting down, who are you? Well, what do you mean? I'm me. Can I be part of you? Are you circumcised? Well, that's a bit personal, isn't it? I mean, do you want proof? What? Do you work on the Sabbath? Well, yeah, when I have a job. Have you eaten pork? What's that got to do with me wanting to be part of you? And then they lower a rope. And I'm thinking, oh, I can climb. I'm so desperate. I will grab that rope. Except it's not coming low enough. I can't quite reach it. And they keep asking silly questions. And then finally, because my answers didn't agree with what they wanted it to agree, they pulled the rope back up. And I was left desperate, alone in a dying land. And I wept. And as my tears fell to the ground, it dissolved something on the floor where it says, here lay King Jesus. All who repent and believe in him shall enter. What? These people could have let me in with their robe. What if that statement is true? What if that statement that says, repent of your sins and believe in this King Jesus, will give me access to beyond that great wall? Well, that's a risk I have to take now, don't I? I can look at the big wall and I can shout at the people. I can go back into the land of death and destruction. Or I can just say, Jesus, yes, forgive me. Because I have come from that land of death. I have been part of that land of death. I have done things in that land of death that should cause me death. And yet there is this thing on the floor that just says, believe and repent. So I fall on my knees. And I pray a prayer and I say, Jesus, if this is true, then I repent. And I'm sorry for all the bad stuff I've done. And I find myself uncontrollably weeping. And I'm not realizing in my weeping that the wall is starting to crumble. Cracks are appearing in that wall and that wall is coming down. And then suddenly this man in white stands in front of me with his hand. And I see a hole in his hand. And he says, come follow me. Come follow me. And I can see as he leads me into this new country of light, of life, and of love, and of everything that humanity needs. That is an easier version for me than what it says here, but it's just identical to what it says in Ephesians. Okay? So hopefully, if you didn't understand Ephesians, hopefully you understand it by that story. Just a little bit easy. It doesn't mean that I'm going to stray away from Scripture and want you to believe my story rather than the Bible. Please don't. Because I'm still a human being, fallible at that. But here we've got the introduction, and my title is slightly different indeed than yours. Mine says, Jew and Gentiles reconciled through Christ. Yes? Once we were aliens, and that's the sad part. The first few verses, let's read them together again. Therefore, remember that formerly we, it says you, but it's we, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves of the circumcision, which is something that's done by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ. That is where the world is at. We sang more love, more power, more of you in my life. How much true is that for the world today? See, the world doesn't need a change of government. It just happens. They come and they go. Yeah, we're not the only country. Apparently, it's an unprecedented time in human history that at this particular year, there are more elections around the globe than there have ever been. Something is stirring. Are we seeing the signs? Because the world is crying out for change in leadership. But they're not going to find it on this planet. Doesn't matter whether one party replaces another or whether the same one stays in place. Whether the same dictator gets uprooted or stays in place. In a sense, it doesn't matter. Look at South Africa. What a mess. Look at our own country. What a mess. Look at my country, Holland. We haven't had a proper government for, I think, 16 years now. There has been coalitions of 6 or 7 parties together. Well, good luck with that. All trying to compromise and getting somewhere. And with compromise, you get nowhere. And this is where they find themselves there. They are without hope. They are without hope. And that's the people in this world without Christ. They are people without hope. And you and I, we have that hope. We are the ones that could stand at the top of that wall and lower a rope and get other people to come in and join that kingdom. But actually, I haven't got that power because I can't forgive their sin. Jesus can. So my job is not to lower a rope and try to get them into the kingdom with a fancy rope. My job is to point them to Jesus. Your job is to point people towards Christ, not towards religious or circumstantial things like circumcision. Are you circumcised? Well, it doesn't really matter anymore. Do you believe in the sacrificial sacrifice of Christ? And do you want to follow him? He'll happily grab your hand and lead you into the land of milk and honey, into the land of peace, of love. I would love to say a land of abundance, but I can't promise that either. Because even Christians can be poor. Even Christians in this country might have to use the food bank. But you believe in God. He should provide. Well, if that's the case, everybody would be a Christian, wouldn't they? If all Christians were constantly healed, everybody would be a Christian. See, God is wise in the way that he deals with his people, the ones that he has created. So once you were part of the uncircumcised, you were Gentiles. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. One of the saddest phrases in the scriptures. That actually, if I look out there and I look at the news and I write a newspaper, if they still exist, if I read them, I can almost read that line. That these are people without Christ, and therefore they are without hope. Well, this was written over 2,000 years ago, people. Really? It's relevant today? Yes. Tell your neighbor it's relevant today. Tell your colleague it's relevant today. Tell your unsaved family member that it is still relevant for today. That's why we are here today, to listen, to be together, to worship together, to listen to the word together, so that God will, in a sense, that we might breathe God in, as we've heard earlier. So we were excluded from citizenship of Israel. A bit like how I started, you were excluded because I'm the only one who speaks Dutch. Yeah, you were very much excluded. But once I switched to your language, which is now also my language, then suddenly we could understand each other and we could communicate so much better. But you were excluded from citizenship of Israel to start with. And therefore we were also excluded from the covenants that God made. He made these rich promises to his people. And his people got it first. They got the blessing first. But through Jesus, we are part of that. We are no longer excluded from that. We are now part of the promises that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm always surprised when I get to that phrase, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because didn't Jacob change his name? Thank you. Some of you are aware of the story in Scripture that actually God changed his name. He didn't. God changed his name to Israel. And yet, the promises are to the God of the old guy. Not the new splendid version that wrestled with the Lord. The old guy that was a cheat. Oh, that gives me hope. That gives me hope, people. That God knew him, not necessarily by his brand new spanking name, saying, Christian. No, Jacob. I am the God of Jacob and of Israel. That's just an aside. As I was reading that, that just jumped back to mind. And you were without hope and without God in the world. And as I said, that is the newspaper titles and the news reports on the TV. That is basically what we're in today, what we find ourselves. We are separated from the Messiah. We are separated through everything that we've got. And maybe it is our own wealth that causes a separation from Christ, because I don't need God. My neighbors, lovely people. Honestly, lovely people. A mom and dad, a son and a daughter, and a dog. Perfect family. He is a manager for EDF, so they're not that perfect. I'm obviously not with EDF. this is recorded, isn't it? Oh, yeah, okay. I need to be careful what I'm saying here. Anyway, Chris is a lovely guy. And Hannah, she's a midwife, so they are almost perfect because she brings new people into this world. She does a great job. And Harry, their son, he's in year 9 at the local secondary school. And then you've got Tilly or Matilda, and she is in year 7, and she wants to be a cheerleader. And she can dance. I mean, I can see it from my window because she does it in her garden. And they are the most nicest people I can come across. And yet, if I have to have a conversation with them, which I sometimes do, about kingdom issues, it isn't there. They are still alienated from that kingdom. I have to, when I'm bold enough, remind them that they are actually going to hell. With all their niceties, with all their career success, with all the nice things that, according to the world level, they have achieved. They've got a car each. He's electric, so he's good for the environment. He's just a nice guy. He plays golf. No, that's not my thing, but... But he takes his son playing golf, so he's a good father as well. And it's all there, except they are not part of the kingdom of God. And that breaks my heart. Because they are here in Ephesians. They should read this chapter in the hope that God will just break through and say, you can become part of this kingdom of life, of love, and of light. That's what I want you to be part of. And one day I hope God gives me the right words to share with them so that they can have that. During COVID, I adopted 12 houses in the street that I live, and I made sure every week I would leave something on the doorstep. One day it was a stress ball, which was a globe, and it was kind of soft ball, with a little note, please don't take it out on each other, take it out on the ball. Just one of those little things. And it was always in a bright yellow bag, just to brighten things up a little bit. So I was known as the guy who delivers the bright yellow bag. And once we were allowed to go out, remember those days? We were allowed to go out. You know, the kids were so happy for once to go out. And I decided to have a carol service in my drive, and my neighbor has a double drive, so three drives together, 12 families. And we all turned up. It was absolutely pouring it down. But we were just happy to be outside, to be honest, because we've been locked in for so long. And I needed to be bold enough to say something that would make a difference. So in the preparation, a guy who plays guitar, he would join us. And I chose some carols that we would sing in church, and some secular songs as well, so that they really felt part of it. And it was a great time had by all. And I bottled it. First of all, because it was raining, I didn't want to be out there any longer than I ought to have been. Also, that was the evening that our son actually contracted COVID as well. So he kind of ruined that bit, because suddenly you think, oh, people can't get too close anymore. And there was still that sensitive sort of timing. Then about 6 months later, I get a text message, because we've got a WhatsApp by now off the street. I get a message in the WhatsApp, Eric, will there be a carol service this year? Amen. I didn't have to say anything. See, God can be at work through you, through me, when you just step out and do something. And these people say, actually, that was a good thing. So I thought, whoa, this is my chance. This is when I'm sucking in the gospel. Yes, come on, Lord. They're going to be part of this new kingdom. So Christmas comes. The date is set. My guitar guy goes off ill. I don't play the instrument. I scour around for somebody playing an instrument, anything, penny whistle, anything. Nobody. This is going to be the first a cappella carol service ever, certainly in my drive. Anyway, last minute, somebody says, oh, have you asked so-and-so? And I said, no. So we asked so-and-so, and he came with a guitar. Although he says, most carols are actually written for the organ, Eric. Okay, you're one of those. That's fine, but I'm just very thankful that you're coming. Anyway, neighbors come, and this year I have actually expanded on year one. Version number two, we've got mulled wine, hot chocolate for the children, and we have sparklers. Yeah, that's the reaction I got. And they say, Eric, this is absolutely amazing. And remember, I was ready with the gospel as well. The sparklers sparkled, the wine was finished, the chocolate went. The gospel wasn't shared. Because Eric didn't quite feel it right. There was one family who turned up who are not part of our street. They were invited by one of my neighbors. And the two kids were an absolute nightmare. I won't mention names for recording's sake. But they were there. And I think I got distracted by the fact that they were there and they were ridiculing some of these songs that we were singing, because they don't all make sense, do they? Little Jesus, not making any noise. Come on, every baby makes a noise. You know. And they were saying those things out loud. So I thought, oh great, you're here to ruin the party. Anyway, last year we had version number three. So I've got my hot chocolate. I've got my mulled wine. I've got my sparklers. And this year, we've got a fire pit. because I was given one for Father's Day. So I thought, hey, we're using that. So we've got the fire going, and we've got new neighbors moved in over the road. They came, was the first time they came. And I thought, you know what, we're just going to sing some songs. We're just going to have some really good fellowship. And this, for me, is almost what church ought to be about. Just random people singing songs, whether they believe the words or not, they were still singing them. How beautiful is that? Eric, just enter into the spirit of Christmas and of this carol service. So I did. And then as the guy was playing the guitar, one of his strings snapped. No, he's a good guy. He can play with five. But then a second one went. It's harder with four, especially when they're written for organ. Remember that bit. So then I was there and I thought, okay, we need to have a break whilst he can put the new strings on. And I just told him a little story of one of the Christmases I had back at home, which wasn't necessarily the nicest. And then I said, and because of that, Jesus came as a baby so that we could understand, because everybody loves a baby. Everybody loves a baby. People might struggle with the concept of loving God because he's so big and so mighty. Yeah, strong. And that concept is alien to most people. But babies, talk about babies, and people go, oh. And that was the breakthrough. That was the breakthrough. One of my neighbors came up to me and she whispered in my ears, and she says, Eric, next year, so that's this Christmas, this coming Christmas, can we have a little manger scene? Not a Christian at all. We're getting somewhere. So pray for my neighborhood, pray for me as I'm kind of the pastor now to my street, which is street pastor in a different way. But all of them, or most of them, are still on the wrong side of this wall. They're still in the land of death. They're still the Gentiles and the uncircumcised, and they know it, and they don't want to be part of that new Jerusalem, this new world, this new kind of love, life, and light kingdom. You might have known, if you're a Christian long enough, that they had this big building called the Temple, and they went to the Temple. And apparently on the outside of the wall, there was actually a slab that says, no foreigner is to enter within the forecourt or the balustrade around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will himself be self to blame for his subsequent death. That is the sort of separation that was happening in that time. Now, are we still portraying that to the people that we meet? Actually, you can't be part of God's kingdom because you're not Christian. Yeah? What about your attitude, my attitude, towards foreigners coming into this country? And I can say that as one of being a foreigner. Yeah? So the little boats land on the coast here, just outside. What are we to do? Now, it doesn't mean you have to have an open door policy and let everybody in. I totally understand. But what would Jesus do? Would he say, take my hand and I'll lead you to a land that's of life, of light, and of love? Or would he say, no, stay in your place of destruction and of death and of disconnection? I think I know the answer. As a Christian, you ought to know the answer. Jesus would kind of say, you know what, I have broken that barrier. And how that then works out in practical terms, hey, that is yet to be decided. Whether you put them in a hotel, whether you put them in your own home, whether God, by his grace, does something great with one of the families like he sometimes does. But that's up to God. We still have to do what we are called to do. I cannot have a prejudice towards other people because I'm a Christian. And sometimes as a church, we make it more difficult for people to become Christians because when they come in, they don't feel part of it. Really? I didn't have to become a Christian before Jesus says, Eric, I died for you. He died for me whilst I was a sinner. It's very clear in scripture. Whilst I was a sinner, he died for us. He died for me. Some of you I spoke to before the service know that I'm changing career, so to speak. I've done 7 years of youth work at Victoria Baptist Church, and from the 5th of August that will change, and I will become a patient transport assistant. So ambulance care assistant is actually the full title. So I will be doing patient transport. So I might see some of you, hopefully not, because that would be bad. But yeah, so take people to dialysis treatments, cancer treatments, or to hospital appointments and do those sort of things. So when I went for the interview, I said to the Lord, I do not want to fail my one-to-one, because I'm talking about myself. And I'm pretty good at that. And I'm quite a decent bloke. And I'm your child. So let me just pass that bit. So we were chatting. And then, of course, being the NHS, they asked that question of, we appreciate everyone and all colors, and especially the LGBTQ plus society. And how would you implement your job in that scenario? First thing I said was, that's a dangerous question in this current culture, isn't it? Both of the interviewers laughed. So I thought, I know where they stand. I don't have to explain anything without saying anything. So that was God's wisdom. And then I said these words, and I said, by now, you will have picked up that I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, God has asked me to love all. And that's what I will take into my job. And they say, you couldn't have said it better. And so from the 5th of August, I will start that job. And when I at the end of an interview, they sometimes say, so have you got any questions? They've just bombarded you with question upon question upon question. And you think, how on earth did I get this job? Grace of God. And then they say at the end, have you got a question? I said, well, just the one. Just the one. I said, I hear that there were about 200 applicants. And you've shortlisted this fella. No experience with the NHS. Never driven an ambulance. So why did you choose me? I thought, just interesting. And they said, well, we read your application form and we laughed how short you kept your answers. Well, that's more a lack of understanding English, I think, because I don't know any big words, so I can't bombard them with big words. And then they said this, and that this really, once again, grace of God upon it, is they said, and we also, through the answers that you gave and the interview we've just had with you, we think you're more interested in the people than driving the ambulance. Most people actually want to drive the thing because that looks cool. I mean, it's not blue lighting, it's not emergency, but still, it says ambulance on the side. And they say, actually, you're more interested in people than you are in. And I thought, God, you are so in this. Because that's not something you can fabricate. Yeah? That's the same here. You can't fabricate being part of God's kingdom. You're either in or you're not. But only because you have cried those tears and seen on the floor, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. You have been there. Now it's your job, my job, to tell others. To tell Chris and Hannah next door, for in my case. Whoever your Chris and Hannahs might be in your case. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and he has destroyed the barrier. He brought that barrier down that I talked about earlier. The dividing wall of hostility is gone by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. That is our story of today. That there is a reconciliation possible between the death and the destruction and the light and the love and the light that is to come. And you and I are standing in that barrier. We are standing in the breast. We're standing in the gap for those who haven't quite seen it yet. So start maybe thinking and say, how can I reach out? Hopefully it doesn't take another pandemic for me to realize that I can reach my neighbors. So in that respect, I am thankful for that time. I hated it whilst I had to go through it. I didn't deal with it well. My mental health went kaput, it went short. But by the grace of God, he used that moment so that now, still now, we have our fourth this year carol service in my drive. But that's not the full story. Because 2 years ago, I WhatsApped my neighbors around about February time. It was February because it was Valentine, saying, as you all know, as a Christian, I have to love you, so I do. Just be bold. Just be rude. They take it because I'm a Dutchman, and we just say things the way they are. So I say, as you know, I'm a Christian, I have to love you, and therefore I do. So lots of smiley face emojis started flooding my little WhatsApp thing. And I said, oh, by the way, Easter is coming. Anybody fancy an Easter egg hunt? 86-year-old over the road, she says, use my garden. She's got the biggest garden of all 12 of us. I mean, that is God, isn't it? Anybody else could have said, yeah, use my garden. Hers was the biggest, and she immediately says, please use my garden. 2 years ago, this year we had our second one. What I didn't know is, people start to invite people. We had 25 people this year. And I make little bags with tracts in them, gospel tracts in them for the children. They get stickers. They go round the neighbor's garden, ruining all her precious flowers. She wanted it. And she's still asking us back. And now, so this year, before we start, I said, oh, this is the date. We're going to Dot's garden. All welcome. Shall I do hot cross buns? Shall I do coffee and tea? Shall I? It's like church. It's like church, except they don't know quite that they're serving Jesus as they are doing it. And one day they will. One day they will. Then this year, as we had the Easter egg service, the kids are roaming around wild in the garden. We're having our cup of tea and the hot cross buns that are freshly made for us. One of the men, because it's not a manly thing to do, obviously. So one of the men comes and he sits next to me and he says, this is all well, isn't it? He says, I don't like singing. And you do carol services. This is for kids. Why is that for me? So I thought, you selfish, what's it? didn't say that. And I said, listen, us blokes, pint and a barbecue? His face just lit up. Say the right words. And he says, you know what? I've just been given a barbecue. And then one of the other neighbors, blokes, overheard it. He came. So I've got two guys now bringing their barbecues together in their drive, which is halfway up the street. And 10th of August, we have a barbecue as a street. So God is kind of taking this one carol service that we had in the rain. And now he's doing this. And that's by the grace of God. But that is because barriers are coming down. I couldn't have done this 5 years ago in my street, because there would have been barriers. They would have come up with excuses not to have to come. And I actually corrected the bloke who says, well, it's not for us, is it? We don't do singing. I said, oh, no. Are you a Brighton supporter? I think you sing a lot when you're in that stadium. So, yes, men like to sing, but only on their own terms, obviously. But that is what it is. And then it says towards the end that actually he is the God who brings peace. So let's pick it up from verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Oh, and praise the Lord for that. I am not a foreigner, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building joins together. And in my view at the moment, there are some unpolished bits part of that kingdom as well, and that include my Chris and Hannah next door. Because one day, they will have to bow down and confess that he is Lord. And I hope that I will be around for that day. It might not be mine to see. I realize that. Sometimes we are just sowers. I do realize that. You know, I've just done 7 years of youth work, so you've planted a lot of seeds and not necessarily always eaten the fruit. But that's not what we're doing it for. So in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you two are being built. You guys, we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God chose, the Almighty One chose, of his own volition, of his own free choice, he chose to live in you. It blows my mind. And things like that, I can't share over the fence with my neighbors because it will blow their minds for all the wrong reasons. They say, well, you're just a bit, ooh. So I need to find language that they understand. And obviously it's food. it's being together in beer, and it's being together. And through that, I believe that God is going to do a great thing in the Crescent where I live. When I was out with my missus, I'm going to close with this. We were out on Friday night. We were out with friends. We were actually picking up some bikes that we were given, electric bikes that we were given. Very nice. So we went to pick them up, got back home. These are foldable ones, so you just put them in the car and then open the boot. Anyway, we got home, drove into our drive, and I spot the corner of my eyes about five doors down. There's an ambulance outside the house. So I said to my wife, I said, I'm just going to pop over, just going to see. She said, of course you are. So I walked over there, and the daughter of the family, she's absolutely wailing, she's crying, she's hugging her younger brother, who's got a lot of issues with him, and then the boyfriend is there as well, but I don't see mum and dad. So I said, Charlotte, what's the matter? She says, my dad is in that ambulance, and he's about to go to hospital, and we don't know what's wrong. We found him collapsed in the bathroom. So I said, Charlotte, come here. So I hugged Charlotte, and James, her younger brother, didn't let go of Charlotte. So inadvertently, I was hugging both. And then the boyfriend says, can I join? I said, yeah, why not? So, but we're standing there on this, in that front garden, and the neighbors are just looking around. And so I have a few words with them, and I said, you know that I'll pray for you, okay? I said, is there anything, if we need to take you to the hospital, just knock on our door, send a WhatsApp, whatever you want to do. So I'm about to walk back home to offload the two bikes from my car, where James, the brother, he shouts, Eric, why don't you pray now? Well, that's me standing there corrected, isn't it? I should have thought about that. So I went back, and my wife saw this whole thing happening, that I left, and then I went back, and she thought, what's happening? And then she saw by the nature of how we were standing that I was praying. And these words, this is just God, these words left my mouth. Lord, if they need to cry, you created tears, so let them cry. But Lord, if they need to laugh in the middle of this travesty, let them laugh. And I didn't really know what I said. I was mumbling because their dad has just been taken to hospital and I don't know what's going to happen. James wanted me to promise him that God would heal him and restore him, and I don't know whether he's dying in hospital. So I don't know what to say, do I? And I said, I believe my God is big enough to do it. And then I quoted Daniel, but even if he doesn't. I said, but you know where I am? I'm just over the road. Anyway, about 2 hours later, I got a text message from mum, and she says, James says you prayed. Well, it's been answered. He had a heart attack, but he's in the best place because they're looking after him. If he wasn't rushed to hospital, he might not have made it. So here we are. You don't always see answers. And I just blurbed out something, and I thought, you know, when I was walking away, I thought actually maybe I was a bit flippant. But I know James well enough. James, you need to understand James. If his sister wasn't hugging him, James would have been banging his head against the wall, literally. Yeah, he was going to, sorry the language, but he was going to effing smash the place up because his dad was taken to hospital. Yeah, and that's where I found myself in the middle of. How easy or how difficult is it to pray when people use language like that around you? Because that little fella, he had issues. And yet the peace of God came upon him as we prayed, and his sister took him back in. Father, we just want to thank you for your amazing word. We want to thank you that we are part of your kingdom. That we're no longer aliens, no longer foreigners, but we are your children. And Father, we long for our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, our family to also become part of that great kingdom of light, love. Father, we just want to pray that you will use us. Open our eyes to how we can be used. Father, I want to pray for Woody Neen Baptist and the issue with the shop. Such an outreach opportunity, and Father, yet it looks like Satan is stirring. So, Father, indeed, as has been prayed, give leaders wisdom on how to take it further, because it belongs to you and not to Satan. Father, for those of us here who have people who are not yet part of your kingdom, we pray for patience. For the song, More Love, to be real for us to them, but also one day that they might reciprocate and say, yes, I want what you have. Father, we are so thankful for the words in Ephesians that because of the cross, we have access to the Father. And because of Jesus, we are built, being built into a building where you will dwell. And within that building, you are the mighty cornerstone. Christ alone, cornerstone.